It is 7:08 here on the morning show. Ashley Scammerhorn, Brian Wiegand with you. So going to experience more fall temperatures here on this Tuesday as we had a extra long summer this year. Get those every few years in the area. But it's looking like 60s and 70s and actually maybe some rain in the next couple of days. Although I think at least for today, most of it more to our west, more likely. I mean, Roanoke more likely to get rain than over here on the Lynchburg side. You liking the cooler weather?
I am. I was just outside a couple of minutes ago and the breeze was coming through and it was just nice to not have any real humidity in the air just attacking me.
No, yeah, as I said, certainly we'll take it. You know, we sometimes get those long summers, but at some point it's better for things to change. I mean, look, if you gave me my choice, every day would be a high of about 76 and a low of 60,
and that would be
pretty much it.
A lot of people would agree with you.
But if we're going to have some seasons, let's get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming up on the program today, we've got some national, international stories to tell you about today. Also, a court win for the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Health check with Dr. Darren Bowers from Piedmont Eye Center. We'll talk about LASIK with him. I would just like to say that I never keep any of my flutes in my pants, in case anyone is wondering. This will be relevant later in the program. Movies with Mike May. We'll talk about The Joker with him, including what I think is a rather overwrought piece in CNN about the whole thing, and that it just shows that this is why Trump is president and that sort of stuff. I think Mike is a little more sympathetic to the point of view. We'll talk about that. We've also got, I think it's five movies coming out on DVD and pay-per-view today, so a lot to get to with Mike. Jennifer Wolfter is going to join us, and if you don't know who that is, it is no great shock. She is a local Democrat taking on Kathy Byron for the 22nd district seat in the House of Delegates. That's going to be, let's face it, that's a tough ask for a Democratic candidate to win in the 22nd district, even with the little swapping between the 22nd and 23rd, which was done to make sure that a Democrat did not win back the 23rd, which is mostly Lynchburg. It's still a very, very Republican district, but we'll talk to her, learn a little bit about her, why she decided to run, get into some issues with her. We'll talk about gun control, health care, all that sort of thing. We've got a big panic at some college campuses in Florida. I was reading the news story about this, and it's still around. If you remember Patch.com, it was sort of the network of like really hyper-local news sites, and they've picked up on this. Patch, excuse me, I'm sorry. That's where the flute story is. This one is a little bit more national, but it's one of those things where you just, you know, how in the world do you justify this? And I think right now they're going to say, well, it was kind of dark. Okay, if you insist. And you don't have much time left, and you'll have to take off across the Atlantic to get them. But we've got a new take on what people are on Tide Pods, essentially. A lot of complaining about these little treats from Glenlivet. They make scotch. I think they're pretty famous for it. I'm not a scotch drinker. I don't like it, so I can't tell you for sure. But people really had a really bad reaction to this, which I think is just sort of what we've gotten used to, especially with social media. When I say social media, especially with Twitter, good God. So all that coming on the program today, let's jump into some stories here. And first off, let's talk about the latest from Syria. Let's hear from Orla Garin with the BBC. She's on the Syria-Turkey border.
There is a growing sense here on both sides of the border that the countdown to a Turkish offensive has begun. The Pentagon has said that Turkey risks destabilizing the region and beyond. France has called on Ankara not to take any action that could harm the fight against the Islamic State group. And United Nations humanitarian officials have said they are preparing for the worst.
Yeah, people do seem to think that Turkey is, it may do it piecemeal to kind of minimize destruction, but that they will be headed across the border because they don't want a bunch of armed Kurds there on their border. This is not the same group, but you have the PKK in Turkey, which is Kurdish group and is legitimately thought of as a terrorist organization. I don't think you can say the same thing for the Kurds in Syria, but the Turks being right there are a little more hesitant to make that distinction. And we talked about this yesterday, and it looked as we were looking at this after the show that this policy was not something where the president consulted with the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Defense, Pentagon, the Middle Eastern Command, whatever it is, just kind of went on Twitter and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And apparently that was the first the Pentagon heard of it, as far as we're getting out of at least this part of Syria, maybe not all of Syria, and got a pretty serious rebuke from fellow Republicans. You saw Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham in the Senate, who are generally pretty supportive of the president, sometimes not always on foreign policy. Graham was really very strong. And I'd say the thing that surprised me most was Kevin McCarthy, the leader of the minority leader in the House, whom I don't think I can recall criticizing Trump, at least publicly before, came out and did it. And so the president now has kind of walked the policy back a little bit, now warning Turkey, hey, don't cause any trouble, we'll wreck your economy, this kind of thing. And it's hard to discern that there's any real Syria policy here. And I think the thing that people are most worried about is the Kurds up in the north of Syria on the border, depending on which report you believe, they're holding somewhere between 10 and 15,000 captured ISIS fighters. And they basically have said, look, if we get invaded, we're going to turn them loose. So, you deal with them. The president has now said, well, no, Turkey has to take them in. And there's also a number of what I'm going to call widows and orphans of ISIS fighters, whom they have as well. And so, what do you do with them? An awful lot of those women are actually European. And big question is whether countries will take them back. And we'll see if any bigger policy ironed out here, because at some point you don't stay in Syria forever. But the question, and this is, this happens anytime you're going to put troops in a country. It's easy to put them in and say, okay, here's what we want to do. It's a lot harder to get them out without leaving behind maybe a much worse situation than you had hoped for. I think seeing that in Syria, seeing it in Iraq, Afghanistan, and sometimes the Middle East is kind of the Kobayashi Maru for foreign policy. There may not be anything that really works. Now, the story that really has been big news, it has been number one on CBS and dominating the BBC all over the world, is the NBA. And we talked about this tweet from Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey yesterday, essentially supporting the Democratic protesters in Hong Kong. This greatly upset the government, a lot of people in China. The Rockets are far and away the most popular team in China. We talked about this yesterday because they had Yao Ming, the Chinese Hall of Famer. And let's hear the latest on this from Jim Axelrod from CBS News.
Anti-government protests have been raging in Hong Kong for the last 4 months. So in the Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey's Friday night tweet, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," angered the Chinese government, the NBA jumped in quickly and not on the side of free speech. Morey's views, said the NBA, deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. The Rockets' biggest star, James Harden, also chimed in.
We apologize. We love China. We love, playing there.
With more than half a billion Chinese fans, in the matchup of free speech versus big business, commerce was a slam dunk.
Not sure what else you would have expected. I will say we've also seen with the owner of the Brooklyn Nets now, after the Houston Rockets owner came out and mostly rebuked Daryl Morey, his GM, although Morey still has his job. Joe Tsai is one of the founders of Alibaba, a huge company. He's a billionaire from China. He owns the Brooklyn Nets and basically has been thought of as not being political. He's not really weighed in on Hong Kong, put up a big post on Facebook about this, essentially echoing the Chinese government. This is a separatist movement, which is certainly not what the protesters in Hong Kong think, calling it a third rail of politics. He's now come in for criticism. We talked about the NBA is the wokest league in the country, if not the world, and not living up to the reputation here. I will at least say Adam Silver did not apologize on behalf of the entire league and said, look, we do support free expression for league employees, but it's still a rather tepid defense. And once again, you don't want to give up $4 billion from China. I don't think this would be that big a deal if the NBA had not gone so far out of its way to say, look, when our players, owners, coaches want to say something, they can say something political. They're welcome to do it, until it costs us our money from China. Or we'll take the All-Star game away from North Carolina because they're not worth $4 billion a year to us. But I guess you asked the question, you know, how much duty does the NBA have to, you know, support civil rights around the world, support democracy around the world? I mean, they are a business rather than a, you know, it's not like they're the junior State Department or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's running through my head, too, is you talk about free speech, throwing all these words around, you know, what is the free speech is you're protected from the government telling you what you can say. Well, your business that you work for can tell you can't say these things. And if you're in a public eye, like a lot of these superstars are, you really have to watch what you say, especially on social media, as anything you say is being scrutinized.
It is. The NBA has given them great license. And, you know, we've seen, you know, LeBron James, Steph Curry attacking the president. So LeBron James at least supporting Black Lives Matter. I saw Steve Kerr interviewed. He has slammed, I'm just going to say, the president, Republicans broadly as far as gun control goes, would have nothing to say about China trying to plead ignorance on the whole thing. And I don't expect Steve Kerr to, you know, the 150 so year history of China and Hong Kong down or anything like that. But it did seem like an awful dodge, and he seemed awfully uncomfortable even having to address it at all. And as I say, the NBA wouldn't, you know, the NFL wouldn't be in quite this much of a position because it, you know, this way they don't call it the no fun league for nothing. The NFL polices its players much more than the NBA. But I guess the thing to remember is more people in China last year watched at least one NBA game, according to estimates, 500 million or so, than there are people in this country. So, you know, and NBA is not going to want to give that up. All right, one more quick story here. Let's hear from Walgreens spokesman Phil Caruso.
We have made the decision to stop selling e-cigarette products at our stores nationwide as the CDC and FDA and other health officials continue to examine the issue. This decision is also reflective of developing regulations in a growing number of states and municipalities.
Kroger as well. So this is Walgreens is 9,000-something stores. Kroger is going to be, I don't know, it's something into the thousands where they will stop selling. So although at both of them, you can still get your regular, safe, harmless tobacco cigarettes. So you still have that. Yeah, and I get the regulation part, but, you know, you have, what do we have with vaping now? It's 800-some-odd. People who have harmed themselves through, mostly it seems like through tainted products, they're not official products, and 18 I think are dead, and yet this is the problem. And in cigarettes though, that's fine.
Yeah, I had the same thought because it was what CVS a couple years back, they stopped the sale of all tobacco products.
Right. So
and I think one of the reasons for that, they said, you know, we're a pharmacy, we're kind of attached to almost a health type environment. And so I get the idea behind a place like Walgreens or Kroger saying we don't want to sell types of products like this. But again, of course, still selling cigarettes.
Right.
It's really interesting. Either way, hot take from me here is that, you know, buying vape products from a convenience store or grocery store is very akin to buying a cigar from a convenience store versus going to a cigar shop to purchase them.
So you go to a specific vape shop kind of thing? That's the way to go?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my opinion, I'd say, yeah, go to your local people. They're more knowledgeable and their stuff tastes better.
Okay, well, there you are. There's your advice from Ashley. If you're looking to get yourself a nasty lung infection and maybe kill yourself, go to the vape shop. No, stop. You know, that's the thing. I mean, stay away from the bootleg products. And as far as I can tell, you're 90-something percent likely to just be fine. It looks like, at the very least, the vast majority of these are either people with knockoff THC or knockoff just regular nicotine.
Yes.
You know, so
at least so far. I mean, there's always truth to the fact that we don't know the effect, long-term effects of these things. And probably breathing anything into your body long-term that isn't just simply oxygen is probably not great for you.
No, it is a fair point. But yeah, stick with the regular stuff and you should be at least not dead. All right, 7:22 here on The Morning Show. When we come back, we'll talk about a big court win for the Mountain Valley Pipeline. 7:27 here on The Morning Show. Ashley and Brian with you. Health Check with Dr. Darren Bowers from Piedmont Eye coming up after the bottom of the hour. Our thanks to Arthur's Jewelry for sponsoring the program this morning. Whether you're looking for an engagement ring, a wedding ring, watch, fashion jewelry, whatever it might be, they've got a great selection for you there at Arthur's Jewelry. Check them out online, arthursjewelry.com, or stop in and see Jim and the entire gang in Centertown, Bedford, there at Arthur's Jewelry. All right, this story from basically every news outlet in the state, pretty much. We've talked about the Mountain Valley Pipeline, an awful lot, one of two pipelines probably going to be headed through the area carrying natural gas from Pennsylvania, West Virginia, down to processing centers in Virginia and North Carolina, and some of it probably for export at some point. And one of the, you know, there are a lot of arguments against this. It's too dangerous. It's not necessary. It's going to harm the environment, all these sorts of things. And one that got a test yesterday was a little different. It's from about a dozen property owners who essentially had their property taken under eminent domain. And we've talked about this before. I mostly am in favor of the pipelines. The one thing is I don't think you should be able to run it across people's property if they don't want it. It's theirs. It's not anybody else's. And yes, I understand you would have this snake, spaghetti, whatever thing you want to use, but tough luck. But the Supreme Court would not take their case on appeal. Supreme Court takes 1% or so of cases that get filed with it a year. So that's not that surprising. And in this case, it's even worse than it might be otherwise, as the judge in the case initially ruled that it's called take first, pay later eminent domain, that they basically just come and seize your land, start doing what they want with it, and then they take their own sweet time to actually compensate you for it. So it seems that much more unjust, I have to say.
Yeah, I sympathize with a lot of protesters, especially protesters on their own land standing there saying, do not cut my trees down. Do not dig up my land here. I'm
Those
paying
are the ones.
For this. Like, this is mine. It's hard to not be sympathetic towards them.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not sympathetic to the people who are out, you know, on, you know, whether it's the Appalachian Trail or public land that's not theirs and sitting in trees. I mostly think, you know, the trees should just be cut down while they're still in them.
Yeah, those are mostly amusing. I find those stories amusing.
I suppose. But one thing, you know, but it's still stopped because of judge has denied a permit. Same thing that has happened recently with the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. So we'll see where those go if those end up at the Supreme Court as well. Quick note, update, we've talked about this now for some time. And I guess it's been, more than a year ago, you had a woman arrested, Louisa Cutting, for allegedly killing her roommate at Radford University. She has now pleaded guilty. She'll have 20 years in prison and 10 years on probation. Also has to go to mental health counseling. And we never did get a motive in the case. They apparently had posted on social media that they went from being friends to enemies and had an on-off relationship or something. But just a... an odd case.
Yeah, defense was used that she had a, quote, psychotic break
right.
of some sort. So whether that's true or not, I guess we'll probably never know.
It is a fair point. All right, coming up on 7:31 here on The Morning Show. And when we come back, health check, Dr. Darren Bowers talking about LASIK.